Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, let's go. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. 3 hours today, big show. We talked about it in the tease. Lakers get one. They beat Boston. Every game matters. Every game counts for the Lakers now as they try to pull themselves together, get out of this rut, and figure out what they're doing. Russell Westbrook, credit where credit is due, played very well last night.
Yeah, he did. He played efficient with energy. The third quarter was tremendous for him. I think a lot of times it's just confidence, especially with athletes. I don't care how good you are. Sometimes you start playing with confidence and things are falling for you. Then you start to feel it, especially if you're a good athlete, a tremendous athlete like Russell Westbrook. And then you can let your natural ability, you know, shine through. It's when you're struggling and you try to do too much is when you start to make multiple mistakes like he's done, you know, for the first part of this season.
Better part of his career?
Yeah, and where he's gotten in trouble is where he tries to force things and not letting the game come to him. But when he's feeling it and it's going good, he's hard to stop. And they were impressive last night, Fred. Very impressive. All three. I mean, the team itself, but I know we talked about it's Boston, and Boston's not one of the upper echelon teams right now. But as a team, when you just look at the Lakers, they actually looked good last night.
Yeah, they played well. Again, opponent aside, they played together.
Yeah.
It worked last night. Now, it helped that LeBron came out on fire. That certainly makes a difference. All of a sudden, you're not playing from behind.
Right.
Right? Because he's feeling it. AD played well. And Westbrook really, really did a good job. Now, is that going to continue? Well, we have to find out and see. But they did work well together last night. And really, since he has been here, that's the first time you can say they played well as a group together.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And we've been waiting, right? Everybody's been seeing this. LeBron's been out. Somebody's been hurt. They haven't played together. Wait until they play together. Well, if this is a glimpse of what it can look like when they're all healthy and play together, then it could be pretty good, right? It could be pretty good. Now, you know, the question is, as a 37-year-old LeBron, is he still going to have those nicks and cuts? And, you know, it's one thing to be out and sit out a game because of back-to-backs or load management, but when you're missing 4 or 5 games in a row and then try to come back for 2 games and then miss, that's where it becomes a problem. So hopefully he can stay healthy, they all can stay healthy, and get a stretch where they play together for an extended period of time.
Yeah, and, I mean, the adjustment here, at the beginning people said, well, the person that's going to have to adjust is LeBron, because Russell Westbrook can't adjust. He can't adjust. He is what he is. He plays like he plays. Exciting during the regular season. Bring you to the edge of your seat. Always a triple-double machine, and also always an adventure. The Russell Westbrook experience. Because there are times you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
He can come down the floor and hit 3 spectacular layups in a row and come down the floor, fall over, and kick the ball out of bounds. I mean, you just don't know. He can make an incredible pass, or he can throw it off the top of the backboard, too.
Yeah.
He can drain a 3, or he can brick it so badly you think the backboard's going to break, too.
Yeah.
Last night, he was a different player. And you said, well, maybe the game came to him, and he was more relaxed. Maybe it was a function of trying to understand, I don't have to do as much. Less is more. If I just do what I need to do, I'm actually going to have a better game and could actually score more points with this group together.
And I think what you help, to your point, what you said, LeBron coming out on fire, I think helped take a lot of that pressure off of him. And that's kind of where he thrives, right? He thrives more. And yes, he's had a tremendous career, Hall of Fame career, and he's done the triple-double thing where he's had to put the whole team on his back in Oklahoma City, especially when Durant left and James Harden left. It was all about him. But if he can understand that, let's get LeBron and AD going and get those guys going, because then they're going to, I don't want to say forget, but they're going to be more concentrating on AD and LeBron, which is going to allow him to remind people that he is still an elite player, but he doesn't have to do it all himself.
You know, I was thinking as you were saying that, and it kind of ties into our Matthew Stafford, Kelly Stafford conversation of earlier in the week and last week. The one thing that Russell Westbrook has never faced, and correct me if I'm wrong, in his professional career, is the kind of expectation that exists now in Los Angeles. There's always been a great deal expected of him. But playing for the Lakers is an entirely different animal. And the expectation that comes with that and the scrutiny that comes with that is unlike anything he's seen.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And it's not just him. It happens to everybody. We saw that with LeBron the first year. Remember? He took a beating about, you know, just kind of the way Lakers do things and the expectations of this city. And I think he admitted it as well, is that this is a different animal when you come to LA and play for the Lakers. The expectations are so high. And I think he was he himself, meaning LeBron, was shocked about that until he put that uniform on. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, in the past, Oklahoma City, win, lose, or draw, they're filling it up and they're cheering, they're going crazy, and every win is a bonus, right? If they get to the playoffs, it's a bonus. Same thing, you know, kind of with Houston as well. But I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. Coming here is something that he has not experienced before.
Well, he looked good last night. And that's a win for the Lakers.
Yes.
Bill Plaschke on the show, and he was talking about, if this thing goes south, who should get it? You know, the conventional wisdom, obviously, is Frank Vogel, because he's the only guy that really can get it at this point. But Plaschke said, I've seen this team, I've watched this team, and the one guy that isn't giving you what he needs to give you is Anthony Davis. You know, it's funny. When you talk about the Lakers being an older team, I always think Anthony Davis is with the older guys.
Right? That's what I think. Then you look it up, he's only 27. He's like, whoa.
He's 27 years old.
Yeah.
No, he's the young guy.
Right.
He's not one of the older guys.
Right.
He's actually the guy they're building around. That's important to keep in mind.
Well, I don't know. I know he came out of college early, and he's only 27, and he won the title, and so he was in the spotlight since he was at Kentucky, but and then came in the league and had, I mean, basically it was him and everybody else in New Orleans, him and nobody else in New Orleans, basically, and it felt like he was there for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And he really wasn't.
No. He's the young guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy they're building around. He's the guy they paid. He's the guy they expect to take the torch. He's the guy to lead them into the next level, into the next era. Is he playing like the guy? I know LeBron's here. But Anthony Davis is supposed to be the guy. And LeBron has even said that in the past. Does Anthony Davis play like he's the guy?
At times. I think he does at times, but it's not night in and night out.
Right.
Where you want to expect it. You know, the guys that you look around the league night in and night out, they are a problem. You know, when you think about, oh, we got to play Kevin Durant tonight, you know he's a problem. You know you'd be shocked if he doesn't go for 30, right? Steph Curry, you know he's going to be a problem when you play him. Giannis, you know he's going to be a major problem and a factor in the outcome of the game every single game he plays. And I don't believe that's always the case with AD. And maybe part of it is playing with LeBron and his psyche. But he has to be that guy. And we said that before. And in the bubble, he was that guy. When they won it because they were a great team and came together and defensively was well. And LeBron was on point and everybody stayed healthy. But they won it because AD was that guy in the bubble and in the playoffs.
He's not that guy now.
No.
No.
At least not every night.
Well, listen to what Charles Barkley had to say.
For the first month of the season, y'all blame everything on Russell Westbrook for the Lakers been putting all them old-ass geezers together, and y'all blame Westbrook. Now I hear y'all going to fire Frank Vogel. Listen, Russ is learning. Frank Vogel is a terrific coach. Putting all them old-ass geezers together and just trying to blame other people, it ain't right and it ain't cool. Listen, Anthony Davis, you got to play better. I said on this first night, if the Lakers were going to be any good, it was all going to be on you. Has nothing to do with Russell, had nothing to do with LeBron, and the rest of them old-ass geezers they put together out there. But now y'all done crossed the line because I really like Frank Vogel. And listen, it ain't his fault, but listen, it's in my opinion, I blame Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, you know I like you as a person, but you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You're 27 years old. You're supposed to be in your prime. You're supposed to be one of the five best players in the world up there with Giannis, Kevin Durant, and those guys. And you ain't holding up your end of the bargain. So now I hear y'all going to fire the coach. That's total BS, man.
What you think about that, Fred? Now, he's right. He's right. They brought him in to be the heir apparent and be the guy and to be dominant. And he's shown it in games, but he hasn't shown it consistently. Like, I'm the best player on the court and you cannot stop me. You're going to have to, you can't stop me. And that attitude and that approach, we haven't seen that yet. And except for, like I said, in the bubble when they went on that run and won the title. But that's what everyone expected Anthony Davis when he came here is, okay, LeBron's older. Now it's Anthony Davis is really going to take the torch. Maybe not the first year, maybe not. Now it's time. This is his third year here. So it's time for him to take over the team. And we haven't seen that yet.
Well, and that's what everybody said since he's been here.
Yeah.
So it leads you to wonder, is he capable of that? I mean, that's what people were saying in year two. Is he capable of that? Does he have that ability? Is he just wired that way? Because if he's not wired that way, then they've got a big problem now with the old guys going around, and they've got to win this year. Imagine if he's not wired that way, but he's their guy.
But you think he's not? Yeah, I mean,
and Rodney,
that
I don't know.
Being too nice that he doesn't have, when people describe athletes, and sometimes they talk about LeBron that way, that he's not Kobe, he's not MJ, he doesn't have that killer mentality, and people complain about him in certain ways that way, and you kind of get the sense that in certain ways AD is that guy, that he's not that. I'm a step on your throat. I'm not just going to beat you. I'm going to kill you.
Right.
And that's what I think people want to see from him, because he has it in him. I think he has the ability to do that. But does he have it mentally to go out and do that every night?
All right. Well, here's what Bill Plaschke said about him.
You know who I think he ought to trade? I'm not quite there yet, but I'm closing in on it, thinking about this. It's serious. Is Anthony Davis really the guy you want to run this team for the next 10 years? I don't know. I shudder to think what this team's going to be like when LeBron's gone for good. I mean, I don't know. Anthony Davis doesn't do a thing for me. Why not think about trading him? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, well, everybody's coming up with a different solution to firing Frank Vogel, but there's Bill Plaschke. Is he the guy you want to lead this team? And you can talk about this better than anybody. And, you talk about that dog in somebody, that dog. You can't learn that. No one teaches you that. You have it or you don't have it. And I think this is really what it comes down to with Anthony Davis. Is he that person? Is he that guy? Because to be fair, Rodney, right now, game on the line, I feel if they throw the ball to him, it's 50-50. I'm not saying he's going to hit it. I'm not saying he's going to miss it. We'll find out. With LeBron, he might miss, but you think he's got a pretty good damn chance to hit it, right?
Yeah.
That guy with the ball in his hands at the end of the game.
You feel good about it.
Yeah.
You feel good about it.
With AD, fingers crossed.
Well, here's the thing. What's probably the most frustrating thing is that we've seen it from him. He's done it throughout his career. He's been in moments where he's been that guy. The three he hit in the playoffs to win the game. The dominant effort that he put during those playoffs. We've seen it from him. To take a Kentucky team to the finals on his back and go win it. I mean, he has it in him. It's just, can he have it in him every night? And that's the frustrating thing about it, because we've seen it. We've seen it from him. But we just don't see it often enough.
I said some time ago, if this goes sideways, if this doesn't improve, somebody's got to get it. Somebody's going to get it. Now, it's funny because the feeling is, well, there's only one guy that can get it, Frank Vogel. The reason Charles Barkley and Bill Plaschke said what they did is because they know somebody's got to get it. That's just the way this works. But they don't think it should be Frank Vogel. Two people independently think it should be Anthony Davis. That's the problem here.
Well, Barkley didn't say get rid of Anthony Davis.
No, he said you do not. You do not get rid of Frank Vogel.
No, he said Anthony Davis got to play better.
Right.
He didn't say get rid of Anthony Davis.
Well, I'm not saying, no. Somebody's got to get it.
Plaschke said, I think you got to trade Anthony Davis. I'm not sure, but he threw out trade Anthony Davis.
Plaschke did.
Barkley didn't do that.
But both are saying it's Anthony Davis. That's your problem here. So Jeannie Buss last night was asked about Frank Vogel. And Bill Orem was on. And, you know, Rodney, you brought this up. You said, well, maybe if Jeannie Buss or Rob Pelinka came out and talked about it, could put this thing to rest.
Right.
Right? You know, LeBron shouldn't be talking about it. If somebody comes out, makes a stand, makes a statement, then this whole thing is put to rest. Okay, well, maybe Jeannie is listening to the show.
Of course she is. Jeannie.
Okay.
How you doing?
Good. I'm answering.
I missed our lunch date last month. We got to reschedule.
Okay. You know, I'm sure she'll call you now.
Yeah, she will.
Because she's listening to the show.
Well, she just texted me.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys going to do it for January?
I'm trying to do it before Christmas.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Anyway, she was asked about it at halftime. Until we're 100% healthy, I don't think we can really make any judgment. Oh, my God. She was talking to Mark Medina. Until we're 100% healthy, I don't think you can
What's the question? What was the question?
Let's see. Talking about Frank Vogel. Was forced to answer questions about his job security. Jeannie Buss silenced all the talk and speaking with Mark Medina. Let me read the whole thing. Until we're 100% healthy, I don't think you can really make any judgment. Talking about Frank Vogel. We're as connected as any organization can be. I really don't know what you're looking for me to say. I would say until we're 100% healthy, I won't make any judgments about anything. Okay. So what does that tell me? That tells me, all right, you know, there's chatter about Frank Vogel. What about Frank Vogel?
Wait, what does that tell you? it tells you how you're reading it, right? It tells you, that's what it tells you.
How did you hear it? How did you hear it?
That's how you hear it. Okay, so go.
No, how did you hear it?
No, go. You were saying it. I interrupted you.
No. You tell me how you heard it, then I'll tell you how I heard it.
No, you started. I interrupted you. Go. Yeah, Fred, you started.
All right. Here's how I read it. Then you'll tell me how you heard it. I read it like this.
Or you heard it like this.
I heard it like this. I read and heard it like this.
Okay.
What do you think? Well, we can't make any decisions until everybody's 100% healthy. That is not a ringing endorsement. That does not put anything to rest. Except, well, we'll know when we know. I'm not committing to anything sitting here right now. What do you want me to say? I can't make a decision unless we're healthy. Or Frank's the coach and we're with him. Simple. What about this chatter about Frank Vogel? I'll tell you what it is. Let's end it right now. Frank Vogel is the coach of the Lakers. He won a title for us. We believe in him and we expect this to turn around. She didn't say that. She said, we'll make a decision when everybody's healthy. I don't think that's a ringing endorsement. That's what I heard. What did you hear?
I agree. It wasn't a ringing endorsement because she could have, like we talked about, is it LeBron? Is the owner? Is Jeannie could come out and squash all of it in a heartbeat. And you're right. Because now what comes up, what she opened the door up for was the Lakers go a stretch until, you know, the rest of this month, and they're at full strength. Well, we got to get Trevor Ariza there. So they may never be 100% healthy.
And Kendrick Nunn.
So we're going to go a stretch with at least their core is healthy. So when is that going to be decision? So it's after they play together a month, after they play together 2 weeks, then we can say we can evaluate because everybody's healthy. There's no – it's gray. And yes, she could have said, look – instead of saying wait until everybody's healthy and then we'll evaluate, she could have said, considering all the injuries we've had and LeBron being out as long as he has, I think Frank Vogel's doing a great job. I think he's doing a fantastic job. We haven't won the games we've won, but we're not healthy. And considering all that, I think he's done a great job and he's our coach. And leave it at that. She wouldn't even have to say he's the coach for the rest of the season or anything. He's our coach. Period. He's our coach until otherwise.
Yeah. Or it could have been like this. Why do I keep hearing this talk? Frank's the coach.
Yeah.
Period. You're right. What is this? Everywhere I turn around now, people are speculating. They're asking. And it's getting louder and louder and louder. Let me just tell you one thing. Frank Vogel's a coach.
Yeah.
He's done a great job here. We're with him. Done. Then it puts an end to it. But she didn't. She didn't put an end to it.
Yeah, because that's, like I said, a month from now, they say, okay, they've been playing healthy for a month. What's the evaluation? What's the judgment now?
Well, she didn't put an end to it because there's no guarantee he finishes the year. That's why she didn't put an end to it. She didn't. And what is that tipping point? At what point does it tip? Does it tip because they're just still going sideways? Does it tip because LeBron has a conversation and says, we need a new voice in here? What tips it?
Yeah, but she put it in a way that it can never get tipped because you're never going to be 100% healthy. So she put the caveat in there is that we can't evaluate until 100% healthy. Well, that could be March. That could be never in the whole season. So she left it open that way to keep getting asked the same question over and over again. Because like I said, they play 2 weeks of everybody being on the floor and still losing. And the next question after that will come up and say, okay, they've been playing together for 2 weeks. What do you think about this? What about his job now?
She left him dangling.
A little bit.
Yeah. He's dangling. We'll find out if somebody throws him a rope.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
Hey, player, what you gonna get, huh?
Come on. Can't you feel it? It's the holiday season. Yes, Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Let's go.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
Hey, join Petros and Money tomorrow at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in Brea, 2 to 5 before Thursday Night Football. Features the Steelers and Vikings in Minnesota. Stop by for your chance to win tickets to see the Chargers take on the Giants at SoFi. BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse is home to the award-winning handcrafted beer, signature deep dish pizza, world-famous Pizookie dessert. Alfred in Pasadena, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to play Know Your Squad. The squad is the Lakers. Please do not answer before I give you all five choices. If you answer too soon, you will be locked out, all right?
Okay.
Very good.
Let's go.
Ryan, are you ready?
All right, that's what I'm talking about, baby. Rogan, let's go, Ryan, let's go, let's go.
Let's go, baby. Let's
Who
go.
Wants some? Who wants some?
Never lost.
Never. Never.
Lakers set a franchise record when they came back from 30 points down to beat the Mavericks in December of 2002. Which of these players was a perfect 8-for-8 from the field and scored 21 points in the fourth quarter of that game? Shaquille O'Neal, Robert Horry, Kobe Bryant, Derek Fisher, or Bobby Fischer?
Kobe
Derek
Bryant.
Fisher. Derek Fisher.
It is Kobe Bryant. Ronnie got it first.
Too easy.
Well, if it was so easy, why didn't you get it?
It was just too obvious. Kobe Bryant. You got to go, you know, contrary.
So
Kevin kind of is good at that. Sometimes he goes with the obvious, and sometimes you got to dig deeper.
Try to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So because he went with the obvious choice, which was correct, you chose to go in a different direction.
Yeah. On the first question, I chose to go in a different direction.
Sometimes you have to do that, Fred. Because Kevin will throw you a curveball.
You know, first thing popping in your mind was Kobe Bryant, but that's not always going to be the answer. You got to know how Kevin thinks, too.
Well, Kevin, how did you think on that one?
That most people will not take Kobe Bryant first because, like Rodney mentioned, he will be the first name you would think of. Maybe Shaq. Shaq can go 8-for-8 because all of his shots were within 3 feet. But
there you go, Fred.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, Fred.
My first thought was Bobby Fischer.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Check me.
Yeah.
Of course.
Kobe Bryant holds the team record for most playoff games played with 220. Who is second in team history with 193 playoff appearances? Michael Cooper, Magic Johnson, Derek Fisher, Jerry West, or Jerry Dunphy?
Jerry West.
Magic Johnson.
And it is no good.
Jerry West.
Derek Fisher.
All right, hold on. We got a Derek Fisher. Was it Alfred or Ronnie first?
Alfred.
That was Alfred.
I said Michael Cooper.
Okay. That was me, baby. Right. Derek Fisher had a long tenure back and forth with the Lakers. Let's go.
Alfred's on the board. Good job,
right.
Alfred.
Jerry West, they didn't play that many playoff series.
Exactly.
Back then.
Yeah.
That's right.
And see, I was going to say Jerry Dunphy.
Jerry did a lot of things. He did not play for the Lakers there, Fred.
May he rest in peace.
Exactly.
Jerry right. Dunphy was in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he was.
What
was it from the mountains to the sea?
From the desert to the sea.
From the desert to the sea.
All of Southern California.
Yeah. A very
the great Jerry Dunphy.
Yeah. But he was
had
good.
The best head of white hair ever.
Didn't he? Oh, yeah. He really did. Yeah, and he was the guy that got shot.
Actually, I believe, Fred, that the Simpsons character from The Simpsons, the news reporter, was based off of Jerry Dunphy.
Yes.
Oh, that's very cool. Did I ever tell you when I was a Simpsons character?
You were?
When?
No.
So was I.
You, I could understand. You should have been. What were you?
Myself?
I wasn't.
So was it actually you, Fred? What do you mean you were a Simpson character?
They made it look like me, but I was a broadcaster.
I can see you as a young Milhouse, Fred.
You kind of look like a Simpsons character now.
Thank you. All right, here's the next one.
Quickly moving on.
Who holds the franchise record for most points scored in a playoff game with 61?
Ooh.
Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain, or Jabba Chamberlain?
Kobe Bryant.
Elgin Baylor.
Rodney got it before you did, Alfred. Elgin Baylor is correct.
Oh, no. I want to challenge that.
No, not even worth the time there, Alfred.
Alfred, don't.
Not even
yeah,
close,
don't throw the flag.
Alfred.
Couldn't burn the timeout like that.
Save the timeout, Alfred.
Don't burn it. He got you on that
one. Okay. I'll save my flag.
All right. Okay.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. Lakers beat the Suns in six games in the 2010 Western Conference Finals. Kobe Bryant led the Lakers with 37 in Game 6, who was second in scoring in that game with 25. Lamar Odom, Meta World Peace, Pau Gasol, Sasha Vujicic, or Sasha Banks?
Lamar Odom.
No good!
Sasha Vujicic.
How about new?
Pau Gasol.
No, senor!
Lamar World Peace.
Okay.
Meta.
Now, there's controversy here.
What do you mean?
Well, wait just a minute, Alfred. I'll explain it.
Okay.
Don't get upset yet. I haven't explained it. So I heard Alfred say it. Ronnie, I looked at him, and he said he said it. I looked at Rodney, and Rodney said he said it. All right. I'm throwing the flag on this.
I didn't say I said it.
No, no, no. Yeah. I looked at you, and you gave me a look like you said it.
I said it late, but they said it first.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Sure. I said it late.
All right, so now
we're... Exactly, he said it late.
All right, so it's Ronnie and Alfred now. Kevin will cue it up and we'll listen to it. Try to figure out who said what.
Pau Gasol.
No, senor!
Lamar World Peace.
Sounds like Ronnie got in slightly earlier than Alfred did.
Just a little bit. Sorry, Alfred.
I'm not going to cheat
for anybody there, Alfred. I'm just being an objective observer. That's all it is.
Well, you know what, Alfred? I got to go with them. I actually thought you had it. But
you say that after the fact.
Right,
get
of course.
Good with Alfred.
Yeah.
No, I really thought he had it. I said that. I thought Alfred had it. But Ronnie had it just seconds before. Okay, two questions to go. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a franchise leader in career block shots with 2,694. Who was second on that list? 1,278 block shots wearing a Laker uniform. Will Chamberlain, Eldon Campbell, Shaquille O'Neal, George Mikan, or George Michael?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Eldon Campbell.
It is Shaquille O'Neal. Ronnie.
Damn.
Okay, so here's where we're at right now.
Damn.
Ronnie, you've won.
Oh, no right. way.
Sorry, Alfred.
Never lost.
But Alfred and Rodney are now playing for second place. Because you each have one. Here's your final question. Good luck. The Lakers lost to the Heat in overtime on Christmas Day in 2005. Shaq made his return to Staples Center for the first time after being traded. Kobe Bryant and Lamar Odom were the two leading scorers for the Lakers with 42 and 25 points respectively. Who was the Lakers' third leading scorer in that game with 12? Should be right on the tip of your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Caron Butler, Chucky Atkins, Chris Mim, Brian Grant, or Ulysses Grant?
Brian Grant.
Nelson, no!
Chucky Mim.
How about new?
Chris Mim.
Chucky Miller.
How about new?
And it is no good.
Chucky the Doll from Child's Play.
Lamar Odom.
No good!
And it is no good.
Alfred, would you like to try?
I forgot the options again.
All right, well, if I give them to you, then...
Caron Butler.
Okay, that was a good try.
No good!
No, not Caron Butler.
Come on, Fred. I said it then.
No, you didn't. You said everything but it. That I'll give you. All right, everybody get ready. Chucky.
Miller.
Atkins.
Atkins.
Ronnie.
Atkins.
Ronnie. Alfred, I thought that would give it to you.
Oh, man, Chucky Atkins.
Chucky Atkins. Man. Hey, what are you doing on Sunday, Alfred?
I think watching football.
You want to go see the Chargers and Giants at SoFi?
Oh, yes, sir.
You're going. Hold on. We'll get your info.
Oh, my God. Thanks a lot, Fred.
All right, Alfred.
Right on. You hey, what about weekend. Me, Alfred? I got the tickets.
And the whole 570, AM 570.
Right on, Alfred. Right on. Right on, baby.
Hang tight, Alfred. Thanks.
Gas up the truck. Ice up the beer. Hit up the boys. And the girls, y'all get out here. Crank up the country.
That's right. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I love it. Let's go. Come on now, Freddie. I see you up dancing.
Let's go.
Today's Afternoon Delight is Fire Up the Night by Blake Shelton. This song appears on a new deluxe version of his Body Language album, which was released last week. He recruits fellow country star Hardy as a featured artist on the track. When addressing the release of the deluxe album, Shelton wrote in a statement, "We wanted to release this deluxe album because some of the songs came in at a point in time where I wasn't ready to make a new album, but I wanted to get these songs out there. So that's what we decided to do. You guys go check it out. We're very proud of this thing." Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Fire Up the Night by Blake Shelton.
Pretty solid impersonation, Rodney. Sounded just like him. Thought I was listening so? To Blake Shelton. Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, okay.
Doing terrific.
All right. Yeah. Right on.
Okay. Well, one guy's making an awful big difference real fast. That guy's Lincoln Riley. Let's bring on Ryan Abraham of USCFootball.com. Ryan, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I thought I was going on the Rogan and the Shelton show, but Rodney said that's good.
You sounded just like him, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you know. I got my inner Blake Shelton going. I'm going to take over the voice here in a minute.
All right. Let's not get crazy, Rodney.
Okay.
Let's got to draw the line somewhere. Yeah. All right.
Slow my roll. Is that what you're saying, Fred?
A little bit. All right. So, Ryan, let's talk about USC's recruiting. And right off the bat, because you're on this all the time, how much of a difference so far has Lincoln Riley met?
It's been huge, and I think you're going to see the class of 2023, which is essentially next year's class, impacted a lot more. I mean, it's going to be a race to the finish. The early signing period is December 15th is when it starts. It's a really I'm not a fan of the early signing period being the mid-December because it's right after silly season with the coaching searches and all that stuff, and you're also preparing for bowl games. There's the conference championship games and all that. But the fact that USC was able to get Lincoln Riley about 2 weeks out, 2.5 weeks out before the early signing period, that helps. And the fact that he was recruiting Southern California hard already, I think that helps. So he's already got Relique Brown from Modern Day, the five-star running back, to switch and flip over to USC. They got a big visit weekend coming up this weekend, so we'll see if he can get any more guys to commit and sign early. But really, that class of 2023, he already got 2 5-stars in the first week. The quarterback, two guys from Los Alamitos, Malachi Nelson, the 5-star quarterback, and then Mekhi Lemon, the 5-star athlete. So he's already having a major impact on next year's class, but the question will be, how much can he impact over the next week or so before the early signing period starts?
Yeah, and Ryan, what do you think the focus, or when he looks at the USC team? Because I know from watching it, I'm sure you understand, and then you hear the grumblings from former players, and like I talk to on a regular basis, where we are not physical on the offense and defensive line. Is that a point of emphasis for him, you think, as he's come in and kind of evaluated the team so far?
Yeah, and I think they're going to try to get some big offensive linemen and some defensive linemen, with visits this weekend and then signing on Wednesday. But there's also going to be probably a heavy emphasis on the NCAA transfer portal. And it's not easy to get offensive linemen out of the portal. They're a hot commodity. But Lincoln Riley's been able to do that pretty well when he was at Oklahoma. So it'll be interesting to see what the mix is. But I think that, he's someone that does like to run the football, and they'd like to be physical. And I think Alex Grinch has done a good job with smaller players, like when we've seen him at Washington State and stuff. And can he get some of those bigger guys to come in and, make that defensive front all that more formidable? So I think it's going to be a mix of recruiting for this class, of course, class of 2023, but probably going to the transfer portal. They've already got a bunch of guys that have entered. They're probably going to try to get as many guys out of there as they can and kind of shore up the roster. Right nowadays, when you see a coach turnover, usually there's a lot of turnover on the roster, and USC won't be an exception.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about the, like you just mentioned, the transfer portal, the recruits that have decommitted somewhere else and are now committed to USC. What about the current roster, the current guys? I mean, how much did they be kind of in limbo? I wouldn't say fear, but looking what they did this past year, it wasn't pretty. And what they put on film wasn't pretty. So if you're a current player at SC, thinking that you coming back and going to have a spot, I feel it's going to be a tremendous turnover in the next year or two.
There's a potential for that. And I think part of the job of Lincoln Riley and his coaching staff, which he's still putting together, is evaluation of the current roster. And we saw for the Cal game, we were out of practice on Wednesday for the Cal game. Some players didn't come out of the locker room, didn't want to practice, allegedly didn't want to play in the game. They only sent 47 scholarship players to Berkeley, and that's probably something that the coaches are going to evaluate as well. There's some guys are going to declare for the NFL. Guys like Jacob Lichtenstein and Hunter Echols on the defensive side, they are entering the portal. Chase Williams just entered yesterday. He's a defensive back that's played nickel and corner and stuff and safety for USC. So there's some guys that have been around a while, 3-4 years in the program, that have entered the portal. And it could be that they just want something different, or it could be that the new coaching staff comes in and like, hey, you probably need to find someplace else to play. We saw Chip Kelly do that with a huge roster turnover when he took over a few years ago. We'll have to wait and see, but I think there's going to be, like you said, some significant turnover on that roster.
Do you know, Ryan, if any of those conversations have already been had?
Yeah, I think they've been happening. Lincoln Riley, I don't know how much he's been sleeping, because he's, before he slept in a bed, he was taking official visits to prospects. That's how they got Raylick Brown to commit as soon as they did. But part of it's going to be, you got to build out the staff and really just kind of figuring out what you have on the current roster. You talked about the defensive line. They were pretty thin there this last year. There's some numbers, but just guys that haven't contributed. So I think they got to evaluate, and it might be a case where you keep some guys that maybe you didn't want to, because just you don't have that many bodies there, unless you feel like you can really bolster up those the depth chart with guys from the portal or different guys in the recruiting class. But it's all part of the process, and I don't know how many hours a day he has, but there's a lot he has to do in this last week before the early signing period.
How realistically, like what you just mentioned, the transfer portal, we got new kids committing, and how realistic is it for the turnaround to happen in a year or two? Because I see, with SC, and you look up, and no disrespect to Utah, who won it and is going to the Rose Bowl. Oregon was strong for a minute and has been a good program, but there, from a dominant standpoint, it really hasn't been that. But for USC to kind of get right back in the mix, I don't see it being too long for them.
Yeah, so I think that I agree with you, and it's part of it is the Pac-12 isn't, you know, it's sort of a shell of its former self. You know, I think Utah did really well this year. And we've seen programs like a Utah State, who Oregon State's going to play in the bowl game coming up. They went up and beat Washington State early in the season. They were bad last year, and they had like 40 transfers, and they were a lot better. Michigan State brought in a lot of transfers, and they got really better from one year to the next. That might be hard for year one, but I think if you were going to hire anyone in the country, Lincoln Riley gave you your best chance, because if they can build up this 2021 recruiting class, they already added a five-star. If they can add a few more, a bunch of four-stars, that kind of limits you, the amount of people you would need to get from the transfer portal. Like, if you're Oregon right now, you lose your head coach and you only have like a week to fix the class. There's going to be decommits and all that stuff happening. So I think they gave themselves a great chance, not just because Lincoln Riley's a great coach, but I think they can help this early recruiting class and keep the roster at a decent level. And so you don't have to like just find bodies anywhere. And, you know, his schemes and stuff, you know, the kind of resources he's going to have at USC, I think it can be a really quick turnaround. And, you know, you could, if he wins the Pac-12 next year, I'm not going to be all that surprised. But if you want to really compete on a national level, that's probably going to be a year or two or three. That would be my guess.
Hey, Ryan, before we let you go, any word on his coaching staff? Where is he at? How many openings left?
Yeah, so on the plane, he brought Dennis Simmons with him to coach the receivers, and Alex Grinch. So those are the big ones, and nothing else official. So, wide receiver Dave Nickel from he was at Mississippi State. It looks like he's going to come over and join the staff. The one you got to watch is Bill Bedenbaugh, the offensive line coach. It seemed like he was going to come. He's highly regarded as one of the best in the country. But he might stay at Oklahoma now that they got they got their coach. You can also look at Zach Hansen, a potential tight end coach that they're going to bring in. And there's another, Jamar Cain is a linebacker coach that they're looking at. So they're pretty close. I'm sorry, Roy Manning is also a defensive back coach. So there's guys that have been like, their names are out there a lot. We don't know officially yet than the first two he brought on board. But, you know, I think those are all good coaches. But Bedenbaugh, if you can get him, the offensive line coach, I think that would be the biggest coup.
All right. Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com. Love talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me on.